By downloading this Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron catch-up, you've upgraded the next 30 minutes of your life. At Melbourne Airport Parking, upgrade from the long-term car park to the at Terminal T4 car park for just $15. When you book online and park before 12 September, melbourneairport.com.au.
Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron.
Bev back, of course, was sick yesterday, but what a massive
still
weekend it
now.
Was.
Whew. Mate, please don't take another DAF. I just started 6.
I nearly was not going to come in today, but I got a bit of stuff on, so I thought I'd better come to work.
Well, you had a big weekend. You've had footy, and then on last Friday night, you performed in Peter Pan, The Adventures of Tinkerbell.
Fly, you can fly.
Now, Bev, I said this yesterday. I will say it again. I went on Saturday to the matinee with Trixie, and I knew the bit that you were doing as one of the pirates. It was possibly the most complicated choreography and singing of the whole show. And I thought to myself, there's no way Fev could have done that.
Thanks for that.
If you weren't a song and dance man, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, who filled the shoes for the louche on that day? Must have been some Johnny come lately.
Yeah, some other guy that was no good. Now, yeah, thanks to you guys all for coming too. Yeah, appreciate that.
Well, the Swans had a game against
exactly,
Hawthorn.
You had no one to go with, Byron, so you could have just come and watched me at Peter Pan.
Mate. I couldn't make it there, but I had a cashie, which I know is dear to your heart.
Yeah, oh, mate, I'd much rather a cashie. I did that for nothing for Bonnie. But, yeah, so we went there, and I got there about 5:30, and I had a cashie during the day. I drove straight there. And
Plumbers convention?
No, it was actually a footy club, Templestowe Ball.
Don't say that. It's a cashie, don't name it.
No, that's all right. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. But anyway, so I rocked up at 5:30 to go through rehearsal. And I just ran through the first scene that I had to do, did one rehearsal, and they go, would you like to go through it again? I'm like, obviously they don't know me that well. No. So I've done it once, and then we did
it. Babe, it was a complicated mop dance with a mop.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was pretty tough, but nailed it. Get out there and... Everyone, I think Rhonda Birch, all these people are in the crowd, and I'm like, I'm taking the piss. I'm like, this is people's jobs.
Mm. Yeah.
But I got out there, so I did it properly. And my first scene with the broom, with the mops, was our captain pirate said to us, what's his name?
Smee.
He goes, fall out. So we had to, we all fell on the ground. Mm. And I'm on the ground, and it happened again, guys.
You broke your pants.
My pants split.
They always do that.
What? They're a costume too.
Yeah. I just heard a and I'm laying on the ground and I put my hand behind my bum and I said to the guy laying next to me, I said, oh, beep, I think I've split my pants. So I've got up and I'm holding the broom with one arm. I'm holding the pants with the other. And I said to Shmee, I go, mate, torn my pants.
Did you say that so the audience could hear?
Yeah, he lost it. Like the whole way through that scene, I had to keep dancing and doing all the stuff and we're bopping and we're doing the rumba and we're doing, we're twerking, doing all that sort of stuff. My pants kept falling down. The crowd's losing it. And then I had to do a costume change for the next scene.
Yeah.
So I had to go get the pants changed. But yeah, I split my pants. So
every time you get on the stage, you split
I
your
know.
Pants.
I've been on stage twice in 3 months and I've split my pants both times.
And both times you've been dropping too. Dropping and locking.
I can't believe it was so embarrassing, Dave.
Stop twerking. Mate,
mind you, that's such a good thing that you weren't there for the matinee with the kids around while you're doing a magic mic with your pants falling off.
There was kids everywhere. That's the problem. And my family was in there and Schnooksy and the kids, I could see them and they're losing it. Lulu's like, you're the most so embarrassing, Dad. You split your pants. They literally fell down to my knees. But anyway, if anyone was there, a bit of feedback, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
13:10:60 if you were there on Friday.
If you saw Fev, absolutely. And just as a secondary point, what happened when you're on stage? Stage stuff-ups. I love this because I can go back to when we were at school and did...
Your Tin Turn?
Yeah, Tin Turn. In prep, we did a production of We Are Little
In what, sorry?
What?
Prep.
Yeah, prep. Mm. We did... it was prep in grade ones. We did a production of We Are Little Gumnut Babies. And no one split their pants, but Vanessa...
because you all had nappies on.
Well, no, Vanessa Pritchard would wish she had nappies because we all had to sit down and then when we stood up, it's a little puddle on the stage.
Hey, have you got an axe to grind for
a little
Vanessa
puddle.
Pritchard?
Oh,
you've said her full, mate. Full, mate.
This woman is now just going about her business.
We laughed about it.
I peed my pants in prep.
Yeah, there you go.
I did. I actually peed my pants in prep.
Okay, it's not a pee your pants phone.
No, can I just tell this story?
It's on stage stuff ups. It's not when did you pee your pants.
I peed my pants because I used to always say I wanted to go to the toilet and I'd just go walk the corridor so I didn't want to go into class.
Yeah.
So anyway, I actually really needed to go to the toilet. So it was sort of the boy who cries wolf. And I said, can I go to the toilet, sir? or miss or whoever it was. And she said no. So I just stood there and weed myself.
Okay. Oh.
But then I went to the sick bay and got these like cowboy pants. They were like brown cowboy pants with like the flares at the bottom. They were sick. But they were the pants that you put on when you peed your pants. So everyone knew they were brown pants.
Of course they're brown. Just in case there was another accident, okay. You were fine.
You know, two things. Were you at Fev's panto debut? Were you in the crowd or on stage stuff ups like Vanessa Pritchard's Unfortunate?
Bit of feedback would be good.
Yeah, have you pulled a Pritchard? Have you pulled a Vanessa Pritchard?
131060, the number.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I only got a few callers. Not too many people watched me on Friday night, but I did have my stage debut, guys.
And you did.
Very tough. I never even knew what's it called? A bloody
pantomime.
I never even knew what that was.
And the next minute, you're one of the pirates in Peter Pan.
And the next minute, I split my pants.
You did.
Yes. Very embarrassing.
I know, but other people have been on stage and had embarrassing things happen. Latasha in Plumpton. Hi, Latasha.
Hey.
Hey, Latasha. Can you make Fev feel better about his incident on stage?
Of course. So I was actually in grade prep. I was 5 years old. It was my first end-of-year dancing concert. My mum had made me this really cute devil costume. So I was on stage dancing. The whole costume fell apart. She stood up in the audience, started screaming, clapping and laughing, and I was on stage crying.
Oh,
gee. Oh, you poor little thing. It's traumatising, and you've remembered it to this day.
Yeah, Latasha.
Yes, to this day, I always remind her, but I kept dancing. So.
Well, thanks for your story, Latasha, but you were probably 7 then, or 8. I'm 36.
5,
I was 5. You were 5.
5, so it's not even that bad.
Fev got a role reversal because his daughter started laughing at him, so if anything, he won one back.
Cameron in Mount Martha. Hi, Cam. Cam, you saw Fev on Friday night.
Yeah, I was the seat in front of Fev.
Oh, cool. So you're right front of stage. How did he go from your perspective?
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. I was shocked that we happened to be there the one night he was there, but it was great, yeah.
And so he's telling the truth. He really nailed it.
Yeah. He split his pants.
Oh, yeah. I believe that bit.
Hey, Cam, you were sitting in front of me, and I reckon I know who this guy was because I was watching him. You were with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And they had their phone, and they were, like, pretending to take selfies but zooming up on some dude that was sitting about 8 seats back chewing. Was that you?
No, that was my twin brother and my girlfriend. I was the one on the other side.
Yeah. And I was watching because I was, so I got to watch the screen as well. So that was.
Okay.
Hang on a second, Fev. Are you stalking people with your pants off? This is weird.
You were supposed to be focusing on your lines and the choreography. You're checking out people in the audience.
Oh, it was so fun. I reckon he was like eating Maltesers and he's like.
He saw the phone. Like he saw it and started smiling.
Yeah. They zoomed right into him. He's like.
This is a bizarre exchange.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Wow. There we go.
Anyway, that's what we do at the panto.
We wouldn't get it. Thank you very much, Cameron.
What, you've never been to a panto?
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
One of the hardest working men in the industry, and I'm saying that because he's already outdone his cohort and co-host who's off swanning around the States at the moment.
The disappointing thing is he promised he'd be here too. And he promised he'd be here this morning.
Not only are you...
I sat on the gutter outside bawling. Another went down. He said he'd come and have a chat with you guys, then we're going to kick the footy. He didn't turn up.
And you're the new dad. I know. You still came into the studio, hey?
Keep singing it, Fief. I'll do half an hour on this if you want.
You are obviously a legend in your own right. You're a dear friend. You're in the studio because True Stories back tonight, 8:40 on the block.
Post block.
Oh, post block.
No, we're not on the block.
That'd be a good twist.
Every episode, they finish the lounge room, hang the TV just in time to watch True Stories.
Brilliant.
It is a very good idea.
Tonight, yeah, so straight after, whenever the block finishes.
Yeah.
I think 8:40 is the generally accepted time. Tonight, back at 5 more episodes, the last 5 of this season.
Yes, but this is exciting because I just read, didn't even need you to tell me, you've been re-signed for another series.
Season 2, baby.
See, that's so exciting. That is fantastic.
That's probably why Andy's gone off and he's lost in Vegas at the moment. He's gambling our budget to try and get better stories.
Scale
put it all
excitement.
On red.
Scale of excitement on par with your beautiful daughter's birth only like a week and a half ago.
It's true. Actually, just 2 weeks ago, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should know the specifics more than I should.
So you'd be into the numerology, though. 17th of the 7th, 17. everyone was like crazy on the ward. Everyone's like, oh, crazy numbers, good numbers for the baby.
That's they are good.
So are they the numbers you gave Andy over in Vegas?
Exactly.
Come on, mate. You're gonna hit
right
70.
Now, Andy is at the seventh casino. He's been to 17 spin of the wheel. Put it on number 17. It has to work.
That's true. I remember I was
But they don't do that. If they don't give you bad numbers, though, with your baby. Like, oh, what's this? Fourth of the 10th. 07.
Oh, this is the spawn of Satan.
Not good. Not good.
But there is something in numbers, because I remember when I had to have a Caesar, I didn't elect one. I wasn't too posh to push, but 2 weeks out, they said, we are going to have to cut you open.
Yeah, right.
And they literally got a calendar out and said, what date suits you? And I remember yeah. And
when are you free? Got a day sparring on Tuesday. So how about
Wednesday? Liked it. I thought the 5th of the 4th.
Choosing a birthday is
was
handy.
Nice. And I went, yeah, there we go. Good numbers.
Zoe's mum's big into numerology too. So like, there's that thing where you add all the numbers in the birthday together and then people are like, oh, you're a 6. And then like, that's like, so it presupposes there's like only 9 personality types. And then you're like, oh, yeah, a 4. That's such a 4 thing to say. There's a lot of that.
So, Haim, was Zoe's mum on Perfect Match? Because I know Dexter did a lot of those percentages the same way.
Hang on a second. You guys, it was like that game where you add up the numbers of your letters.
But can't you end up choosing, can't you choose what works for you? Because a lot of people go, oh, star signs, this star sign goes with this star sign. But then you've got the Chinese years. And so, oh, the goat goes with the dragon. Don't you just wait till one of them works and go, yeah, that's the one?
I mean, I think what we're learning here is it's people aren't easily boiled down to like 4 animals and 9 numbers. It's possible.
Now, TV show, let's talk about, can you give any, any tease for tonight?
Tonight is the ultimate work screw up. And I would think that all the people in this room would have probably messed up at work worse than this. And when I was hearing this story, I was like, this can't be that bad. It is that bad. It's a bad one. This is a real shocker.
Oh, good.
This is one of the ones where you screw up at work and you're like, well, there's no way to fix this. There really isn't. I mean, she tries, but there really is no way to fix this sort of error. And it's a lovely lady, Tracy, played by Kat Stewart tonight too.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
So terrific. Terrific. I mean, we'd have her back, except you only last for one episode on our shows. You can be terrific, but you're not back next week. That's the way it works.
All right. Well, that is tonight, 8:40 after the block. We'll be watching a true story with Hamish and Andy. Man, thanks for joining us, as you always do.
Guys, I'm going to go back out, wait in the gutter, see if Andy picks me up. He promised.
Breaks your little heart.
Hats in the cradle, hats in the
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I love the idea of reinvention, that you never have to, if you're not enjoying your life, your career, your job, whatever you're doing, you can change it. You can, and that's the great thing about 2017. You can go back to TAFE, uni at any stage.
Correct.
Sir Anthony Hopkins, we all know Sir Anthony Hopkins, I believe Oscar winner. You would have had a few,
yeah,
maybe.
He won.
What's he changing? He's pretty old.
Do you want to know a little factoid?
Yeah.
He won an Oscar for the shortest time on screen because of Silence of the Lambs. He's only on screen for like 8 minutes in total, but still won an Oscar.
Wow, there you go.
That's extraordinary.
Whoa, should have saved that to the end, I reckon.
Now, Sir Anthony
came on strong at the top.
Has just gotten a new job. He is now featuring in a Italian fashion brand's catalogue. He's their fall and winter leading man in their modelling campaign. So he's just become a model. I mean, that's great.
You'd have to know someone that owns it or something. He's doing a favour.
No, he's not. Look at him in a suit. Like, I'm sorry, I'm showing a photo. It's very visual if you're in the car, but he looks good in a suit.
White.
Hey, Boxy, though, because I just saw him in Westworld. It's a great series, but I think dementia's kicking in a bit because these pauses are no longer for emotion, just him trying to struggle to get the dialogue back. So I think a model is a good, like, that's a good move.
Do you know what? That is an unexpected career change. It's unexpected. I didn't expect to wake up this morning and say Anthony Hopkins is a model.
No.
Much like, remember a few months ago when we thought that Daniel Day-Lewis was going to become a dressmaker.
You were pretty adamant about this too.
We talked about it for a long time on the show because it was so stunning. And then we realised, oh no, there was a glitch. He was in the movie, The Dressmaker.
The Dressmaker, yeah.
He was just retiring.
He was
but that wasn't your fault.
Portraying a dressmaker in a film.
That was Bridges' fault.
Less of a career change, right. More of going off to retire.
Right.
Anyway, unexpected career changes, maybe like Fev. Who would have thought 10 years ago, AFL footballer, you'd be in pantomimes?
Well, me, because...
What can you do? Anything.
You back yourself, yeah, which is good, important.
I reinvented myself. Who would have thought I would have been in radio? Yeah.
That's a good point.
With this head.
I was in there.
somewhere else.
I worked at the ATO for a little bit. And I bet a lot of my fellow colleagues at the ATO, Australian Tax Office, never imagined I'd be on radio.
They wouldn't. Or the colleagues in the Haberdashery Department of Mire would
Correct.
Be surprised that
yeah,
you've gone
jewelry
on.
And watches. I did fill in Haberdashery every now and then.
Right. Mine probably goes back to when I was at school. My teachers didn't think I'd be anything.
Yeah, I can sort of see where they were coming from,
didn't I?
Look at this. Already phones coming through on unexpected career changes.
Or Fev's taken in a different direction. Mm. Do you just think you're great at everything? So you could do both.
Yeah.
So unexpected career changes, or do you back yourself in and you could do anything?
The only thing I'm not good at is spelling and reading. Everything else I can nail.
I reckon you can you're very good at reading. You read the live reads brilliantly.
Oh yeah, so, there's some words I can't spell. So that's the only thing I'm failing at.
In a weird twist, you couldn't become a teacher, which is exactly the people that thought you
could. Oh, no, they're on iPads now. I've got spell checks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, yeah, good.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Sir Anthony Hopkins, Oscar winner, incredible, extraordinary actor, a great career. He has had a career change. He's now going to be a model, and he's modelling in Italy for a big fashion label. Well done. I love that. Unexpected career changes. Mm. It's when you go home or you tell your mates, guess what? I'm putting the tools down and I am starting cabaret. Just popped in.
Just popped in, yeah.
Just popped in. Sue in Whittlesea. Hi, Sue.
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Oh, thanks, Sue. Now, we love that you've called in and you've had an unexpected career change.
Yeah, I have. I used to be a prison officer and now I'm a nurse.
Wow. Hmm. So, Sue, how long were you a prison officer for?
10 years.
Okay, is that a hard job, Sue? Is it hard? How hard?
Fairly M. Pentridge in the sort of mid-80s.
Oh, wow. Oh,
wow, that's fun.
I'd love to chat with Uncle prisons Chop fascinate Chop. Me.
I know, they're amazing. Yeah,
fascinate me.
Yeah, that's originally why I sort of took the job, but the money was pretty good, I must admit.
Oh, so yeah. Did you, any good criminals in there that you'd, like famous ones?
Bad criminals?
Chopper was in there.
On the H block.
There was quite a few others that were there.
Metal Bartos?
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't recall him.
Was it tough, Sue, for you, particularly being a woman in
Metal
there?
Bloody Bartos.
Yeah, it was. You had to use a lot of bluff.
Gee.
I think the women, though, were worse than the blokes.
Oh, really? Wow. Scarier.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, Sue, so what a wonderful career change, because now you help people. And, I mean, you were helping people then. You were protecting us. But to be a nurse, that's a great shift.
Yeah. Well, it's what I wanted to do originally, but I was a bit naughty in school and didn't concentrate. So you went
and thought, oh, this is where I could end up. I might as well work in there and realise how bad it is.
Good on you, Sue. Thanks. What a great career change.
And great message that you might, things you wanted to do when you were in year 12 and you went, oh, no, I never bothered. You can go back and do it. Alicia in Narre Warren. Hi, Alicia.
Hello.
Alicia, have you had an unexpected career change?
Yes, I went from fitness to baking.
What do you mean?
So PT to baking.
Yeah. Oh, so you're a PT, now you're a baker.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, that's the way it should go. Don't eat this and now make it. Is it hard, Alicia, not to eat all the baked goods? Because that would be my problem.
At the start I was, but now I'm all right. Now I'm over it. It's all good now, though.
Do you still use the same kind of drive? Just one more coffee scroll. I can do this.
I do my weights with donuts now, so it's all right.
Brilliant stuff.
I used to, down in sort of Hampton Park, now Dandenong Way, there used to be, on the way to Dad's work, it was a Tip Top factory.
Oh.
And the smell was like for K's. And the smell of a bakery is so good.
You can't beat it.
And this smell was in the air, and you just drive past, you put the window down.
Mm. Oh,
that's true. But the hours at the bakery suck.
So do these sales.
Yeah.
Are you going to become a baker?
We might as well. We could have a bakery just in that little room there, and we could have two for one at the one shop.
Yeah,
What are we? Austero?
We're Southern Cross.
He doesn't know what company he works for.
The Fox.
Okay.
They could sell, we could have like our own little bakery in here. We'll get two for one rent.
All good ideas. Just a brainstorm.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Long-term, at terminal, premium or valet. Book at Melbourne Airport Parking and take your parking to the next level.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron's long-term...
We have asked the people of Melbourne, what in your relationship is sitting in long-term parking? We've been inundated with entries from people who feel like there's something, just anything in their relationship that needs that little push in the right direction. You know what I'm talking about, boys. It's the girls that maybe just feel that ring on their finger, would lock it down. Now, we heard from Jack. Now, this is interesting because Jack, he's been in long-term parking in this relationship for a long time because he's still a friend. He's in the friend zone and he wants out. He wants done. He wants to take his relationship or friendship with Steph to the next level. Now, we've got Jack on the line. Are you there, Jack?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jack, you've been long-term parked. Let's be honest. You're not happy there anymore. You want a bit of momentum with this friendship. Let's move it on.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
I love the story about how you met because you met at Autobahn. You were working there. Steph needed some help with her subwoofer speaker.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, that's correct.
And so you sort of created a friendship there. And how long have you been friends for now?
About 7 months, I think.
7 months. So are we at the stage, what do you do? Do you speak? Do you catch up? Is it a phone, text, friendship?
Oh, a bit of everything, I think.
Do you think she's interested, Jack?
I don't know, but we can give it a shot, I guess.
Have you got an inkling? Is there a bit of flirtation?
Oh, sometimes.
Is there any emojis being sent?
Yeah, I could say so.
Oh, now, Jack, you can tell you're probably a bit nervous because this is that moment. I like the bravery. I like how courageous you're being because you're in the friend zone and you're jack of it, quite literally. You're done. You don't want to be long-term parked anymore.
Want to start
the
Annie.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, Jack, we're going to be here for you now. We're really good wingmen, aren't we, and wingwomen. Dave, Byron, we're going to be in the background, Jack. So we're going to call Steph.
We're going to get her on.
Yeah, Steph's about to come on, but she doesn't know we're here, guys. So, Jack, good luck. I think your aim should be to try to get a date out of her, okay?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, so if you can lock her into a date, we're here for you.
Just going to sit Jack on hold for a second. Okay, Jack's on hold. I'm worried about this, guys. I don't know that this is going to work.
Well, hang on, no, but if they've been in a friendship for 7 months and she's become friends with the guy who helped her at Autobahn, I think she's keen.
Are you sure?
If she doesn't, are they going to remain friends then? Can you go back
from that? That's done.
Who's she buying the subwoofer for?
That's a very good point.
Okay, we'll make the call. I was just a bit concerned, sort of raise it. Let's make the call.
Here we go, Jack.
Hello.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Hey, there's something I've been wanting to ask you for a while now, but I just, haven't been ready for it. I know you have got a relationship and I know you haven't been ready for it, but over talking over the last 7 months, I've got feelings for you and I just can't really, stop that from happening. I think you are an amazing person, but I was wondering if you'd like to go on a date and give it a shot.
I don't know if that's a good idea for me. Like I sort of said to you before, honestly, I just think I'm going to end up using you, and I don't think that's fair.
Okay.
Like I've sort of said to you before, and you know how well I've been messed up. But. Sorry, I'm driving. You should have called me tonight when I was, home and could actually...
sorry.
Hey, Steph.
Traffic having to think about.
Hey, Steph, it's Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. How are you?
Oh my... Yeah!
Steph, we heard about this great friendship that Jack and you share and there was a suggestion maybe it was being long-term parked and might want to be encouraged to move into a date area. But you know what? This was very awkward. I'm so sorry that we were part of this. But you know what? You've got a great friendship. And Jack, guess what? We're going to give you $500 cash for a weekend away. Whatever you want to do, maybe take a friend on a... to dinner, all thanks to Melbourne Airport Parking.
Oh, thank you very much.
Hey, Steph, it's Fev here. You did say just then that you were driving and you should have called me tonight. If you had called you tonight, would you have had a different reaction?
I don't know.
But guess guess what? And I'm a big fan of this, Jack. You were brave, courageous, put it out there. And you know what? When you get the no, it's the best thing because you move forward and you find someone else. And Steph, that, you know, you've been really honest. I think you're both really great the way you handled that.
Thanks, guys.
That's great. Just hold the line there, Jack.
Jack, you're in a bit of trouble, I reckon.
Yeah, no, well, just...
$500.
Yay! Oh,
it's done well.
Steph's filming.
Mate, I wish I got $500 every time I got knocked back. I'd be a rich man.
Long-term, at terminal, premium or valet, book at Melbourne Airport parking and take your parking to the next level. Unfortunately, Jack wasn't able to go to the next level there, but
well,
you can
still... he can still be parked. That's why it's called long-term.
We'll do another one of these tomorrow, hopefully with a better result.
Fifi, Dave. Fev and Byron.
A bit of interesting trivia that Game of Thrones fans might like. Life has imitated art because the character Hot Pie, he's that little orphan friend of Arya Stark's. Remember, he gets left at a bakery. This is like back in like season one or two. Mm. And by the way, that wasn't a spoiler. Don't worry. You won't. If you haven't watched it, you won't. I haven't messed it up for you. But anyway, in real life, he's become a baker in London.
Wow.
His actual name is Ben Hawkey. And guess what his new bakery is called? You Know Nothing, John Doe.
That'd be like me becoming a pirate.
Yeah, a little bit like sort of. That. Sort of. What sort of shop would you have as a pirate?
No, like, because I'm work on radio.
Oh, I see. Life imitating art. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There's another career
because
out there.
Because of your role
seas.
In Peter Pan
Peter
as a pirate.
Pan, a pirate.
Anyway, to talk about this, we have the man whose name is inspired by the bakery, of course, John Doe. The King of the North himself, John Snow. Hi, John.
Great setup, guys.
Thanks, John.
John, you've got to give Hot Pie credit. I mean, this is a smart move to take advantage of the Game of Thrones craze that's taken over the world.
Yeah, got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, either open up a bakery or with a name like Hot Pie, he could coach Collingwood, which, in fairness, he couldn't do much worse of the job as the bloke's doing now. So, crack a window, they stinker.
Oh, harsh.
But fair. Now, the thing is, most of us here in the Seven Kingdoms have all the streams of income coming in. Like, we all chipped in. We hired a brands manager to help us align ourselves with the right product campaign.
So, hang on. You guys do advertising for products?
Bingo. Like, Grey Worm advertises worm farms and fertilisers. The last part makes me laugh because he's been castrated, so he's not fertilising anything else.
Anyone else?
Okay, let's see. Off the top of my head, Littlefinger sells gloves. and Hordor's on billboards for a car yard.
Hang on, Hordor sells cars?
Yep, only sedans. Four doors.
What about you, John? What do you sell?
Oh, sorry. I was pretty happy with that line. Anyway, well, with a name like mine, you can only imagine what I sell.
Something to do with snow? Skiing? Maybe snowboarding?
Oh, now that you mention it, come to think of it, that makes more sense. I'm actually the face of a campaign for a toilet bowl manufacturer. It's called John Sitting on the John, they call it. So it'd feel like a king of the north when you're sitting on the throne and unleashing fury down south.
Okay. I'll work on that one. John Snow.
No, that was good.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Thank you, John. He's gone. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
All right, so this is something that was discussed on air quite clearly. Fev, obviously a blues legend, Dave Thornton,
Geelong legend,
a Cats fan,
Detroit.
The two teams played against each other on the weekend.
We are Geelong,
the result didn't go Fev's way.
We are Geelong,
just want to quickly recap what was discussed between you two before the game. Let's just have a listen. A bit of a bet here on the show.
I'll walk down Bourke Street in a Cats uniform and Dave has to wear the Captain Carlton. How's that sound?
The Captain Carlton mascot uniform. Yeah fair enough.
Stroll down Marrable Street in Geelong.
Okay, so there we go. That was what was discussed.
Yeah, and after my history with betting, probably silly that I brought up a bet because I never win. And backing the Blues, silly boy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't close either. It was just, I was gone early. I did send you a message going, go Blues, like we're up and about. And then I think you just sent me a message after the game going, ouch.
Yeah, I said, ouch. I actually just sent you a text that went, bro.
Bro, yeah, like, bro. That was
supportive.
Yeah, that's right.
And Fev texts back,
Yuck.
Yeah. Okay,
yuck. Yuck. I was going to take a screenshot from the AFL app of the worm. You know, you've got the worm where the goals come. But even I looked at it and went, oh, I can't do it. It just went south for you guys. Yeah.
Now, the reason
I've lost a bit.
Well, the reason we're talking about it on Tuesday, you're obviously sick yesterday. And so we have to recap today. Now, look, we'll just source the outfit right now because you agreed to wear the...
Yep.
The costume.
And we couldn't
just get to a bar, mate. You're taking too long.
We couldn't get the half cat. Like, it's hard to get that kind of stuff. You got to know people.
Oh, so you couldn't get it costume. From Geelong.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I can't walk it too, Fev, because I'm still on a microphone, but if you could just bring
that
around.
What is that thing? That's not a cat suit?
It is, mate. This is officially, you remember Catwoman? She was in one of the Batman movies. So it's a slender outfit. And after you told us in the pantomime that you ripped your pants,
uh-oh.
Feel confident that you can rip those. We talked to the people at the costume shop and they said, look, it's happened before.
Ripped.
Yeah, exactly. It's happened before.
I can't wear it. I said a cat suit.
Catwoman.
Geelong cat suit.
Mate, think about it.
Catwoman.
Jeez, I look grouse in that, though. It's that tight.
It is very tight.
Cool I look.
For any of the ladies,
the
we'll
last
give you
time
a
I wore one of these was about
down
a couple of weekends ago when Alex and I went to a party.
A leather mask.
Okay, that's way too much information. So where are we going with Fev in the cat? Producer Leon, where are we taking him with this one?
Mate, wherever he can go, we'll take anything.
Okay, somewhere in public in his Catwoman costume because it's only fair. I mean, he did... Unfortunately, miss out with the bet. So
yeah, we'll have to do that tomorrow, Byron. I've got a cashy today.
Well, in fairness, you have
no,
been.
No, I don't. I've
you
been crook
yesterday,
home.
Mate.
I'm
yeah.
supposed to be actually playing golf, but I'm not playing. I've cancelled because
well.
I'm sick. So I'm going to go home,
well,
rest up,
week.
So I can give the best possible show for Wednesday and Thursday, Friday that I can, because this is my employee. And I really
he started to
fight.
Sound like he's slurring his words. He suddenly got more sick in about the last 10 seconds. Did you notice?
Well, mate,
I'll
come
tell
on.
Tell you who's sick. You are at the minute.
Okay.
We need to have a chat.
Okay, we'll catch up after.
You've
the
had
show.
Gaps,
well done.
So you're slender. Yeah,
well done.
Thanks, mate.
All right. Well done.
We're
mate.
Out.
That Fifi, Dave, Bev, and Byron catch up was delivered directly to your ears, valet style. Next time you fly, you can upgrade to valet parking as well for only $20 when you book online and park before 12 September in the at terminal T1, T2, T3 car park. MelbourneAirport.com.au.